Let's pray. God, once again, we turn to you, for we need you. We need your life. We need to wrestle with your word so that we can be more like Jesus and see again how you are transforming our world and bringing hope. So open our ears and open our minds for the word you have in store for us today. Amen. Think for a moment about the symbols of the Christian life. Which are the first that come to mind? Probably the cross, or perhaps the dove that represents the Holy Spirit and God's longing for peace. Or maybe the fish that so many Christians used to put on the back of their cars, or the bread and wine, which symbolize God's body and blood. The Star of Bethlehem to highlight Jesus' birth, or even Easter lilies, which symbolize new life. All these symbols are well and good. Each tell us something unique about the Christian faith. But this morning, I want to insist that the symbol that best highlights the way of Jesus is the donkey. After all, this is the symbol that Jesus specifically chooses at the most important moment of his ministry, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the moment the people had been waiting for. When Israelites came from all over to line up the streets in anticipation, when they spread their cloaks and branches along the road to prepare the way, when they even chanted together, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our ancestor David." And for this moment, Jesus purposefully enters Jerusalem on a donkey. Why a donkey? It's not like Jesus improvises. Jesus is picky. He has a plan, a strategy. He is methodical about his ride. The details have to be just right. And Mark tells us that Jesus goes through a lot of trouble to get this donkey for his trip. Jesus seems to have a special one in mind. He tells two disciples ahead of him to go to the next village and get the exact colt that he wanted. Only that donkey will do. The disciples are to tell its owner that the Lord needs it and that they will return it once they are done. The story leads me to believe that the donkey is the image that Jesus wants the people to notice on that moment that he enters into Jerusalem. That the donkey is the symbol that Jesus selects to define his movement. That the donkey somehow symbolizes the type of kingdom that Jesus represents. That it conveys a special message about the life of discipleship, about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we are called to embody the way of the donkey, you might say. Maybe this seems strange to you, equating our faith with that of a donkey. But to help you see that I'm not alone with this, I wanted Stephanie to share a picture here that many believe date back to the first century. So go ahead, Stephanie, whenever you're ready. Some scholars believe that this picture here is the oldest pictorial representation of the crucifixion of Jesus. And interestingly, it's a picture of a crucified donkey. I know the picture is hard to make out. It's graffiti that was carved into plaster on a wall in Rome. The inscription below on the bottom says something like, "Alexamenos worships his God." So I'm assuming that Alexamenos there is that man on the left. It looks like he's holding up his hand, which appears to be an act of worship. On the cross, God is portrayed as a donkey man. From what scholars gather, this art was most likely a type of political cartoon. It was created to insult and mock the fact that early Christians linked their God to the symbol of a donkey. In fact, all throughout the first few centuries, we find numerous references to Christians who were mocked for worshiping a donkey. Tertullian, a second century church father, had to write extensively about this common accusation. And it appears that during those earliest days of the church, that Christians made connections frequently between Jesus and the donkey. I mean, why else would they have been mocked for this so frequently? Back to the picture. Fascinatingly, though, below the political cartoon of Alexamenos worshiping this donkey on a cross, we find a second inscription. An inscription which clearly comes from a different person's hand. And this inscription merely states, Alexamenos is faithful. Scholars believe that a Christian must have inscribed it as a response. It's kind of like those modern day graffiti wars that you sometimes see on the side of buildings, where one group sprays paint that makes fun of another, and then the other group responds with an insult of their own. But only this time, the Christian didn't respond to the mocking with another insult. Instead, they just replied with a statement of affirmation. Alexamenos is faithful. This Christian insisted that there is something true about linking the God Alexamenos worships to that of a donkey on a cross. That there's something about donkeys which make them an appropriate symbol for Jesus and the crucifixion. That it's an actually accurate portrayal of linking discipleship to the way of the cross. All right, Stephanie, you can stop sharing now. So what does the donkey teach us about the way of the cross? I'm so thankful for that great video that we saw earlier. I mean, I think there's multiple sermons, even a book that one could write about this if they wanted. We could talk about how the donkey symbolizes humility, or how it highlights Jesus' commitment to peace, that instead of riding in on a horse, which represents the war economy, Jesus heralds himself as a bringer of the peaceful kingdom by riding on a donkey. And those would both be excellent sermons, the ones we've heard multiple times before. But there's something more interesting to me about donkeys, and that video highlighted it well. Donkeys aren't afraid to say no. They aren't afraid to stubbornly refuse to do something. My friend Sue has a donkey named Jake. And over the years, Sue has taught me a lot about donkeys. I always assumed that donkeys were not very intelligent. But what Sue taught me in that video confirmed is that donkeys are actually much smarter than horses. Unlike horses, donkeys are not easily spooked, and they have a strong sense of protection and preservation. They refuse to follow orders blindly, and that means they can't be easily manipulated like horses can. When a donkey makes up its mind, there's little you can do to stop him or her. And while they're stubborn because they're really smart. They refuse to do the dumb things that humans try to make them do. There's an old story from the Old Testament that highlights a donkey's refusal to do something stupid that its master wants. And that's the story of Balaam from the Old Testament. I'm guessing many of you remember that story from the book of Numbers. Balaam is a non-Israelite prophet who is hired to curse Israel. On the way to meet the king that has hired him, His donkey just stops immediately in the path. The donkey turns off the road and refuses to go any farther. And Balaam just gets angry. He doesn't want to be late for his meeting. He doesn't want to anger this king and disappoint him. That's not good news for him. So he just starts whipping the donkey, right? Trying to get her to move forward. But the donkey refuses because the donkey is smart. She sees things that Balaam can't. She sees an angel of the Lord that is standing in their way with a sword drawn, ready to kill Balaam. While Balaam continues to whip her, the donkey just refuses to move. She defies her master and she just stubbornly lays down in the path. Finally, after so much frustration, God opens the donkey's mouth. She explains that an angel is standing in their way, that she has stubbornly refused to move forward because doing so would mean both of their death. Here we see the way of the donkey. It's when we say no to the forces that this world pushes upon us. It's when we stubbornly refuse to go down the paths that our world attempts to press us on. Jesus employs this same stubborn refusal as he rides into Jerusalem. When Jesus comes in on that donkey, the crowds are just ready to anoint him as their next king, to be the next David. They sing Hosanna, meaning save us. They believe firmly that Jesus is the one who's going to return Israel to glory, to freedom from the domination of Rome, and the path to that kind of kingship. It's right before him. But what does Jesus do? He chooses the way of the donkey. He stubbornly refuses to be the political leader that the people long for. He refuses to take the reins of power and to take control of history. Notice what Jesus does after processing into Jerusalem on that donkey. He heads to the temple. And this is where Mark's version of the story gets interesting. In Matthew and Luke, the first thing Jesus does after entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is overturning the money changers' tables and driving the people away who are buying and selling goods, most likely with that donkey whip. But Mark doesn't tell the story that way. Listen to Mark's anticlimactic ending of Jesus' day. And when Jesus had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. After this production, after this comic theater of processing into Jerusalem, Jesus just withdraws. He retreats. He goes back to Bethany, which is the exact same place from which his day started. Here we see Jesus acting like Balaam's donkey. He comes to Jerusalem. He looks around and he defiantly just lays down. When all the forces of this world were pushing him and opening up the road to success and power and fame, Jesus says no. Instead, he withdraws from Jerusalem and heads back to Bethany. And I bet Jesus just concluded that day by hopping up on that donkey and existing and exiting on that same path he entered, going through that town, dropping off the donkey, and then going back to Bethlehem from where it all started. And what a way to show the world his complete and utter defiance. What a way to show once and for all that God's kingdom looks nothing like the kingdoms of this world. Sometimes the most important thing that we can do is to stop and withdraw and retreat. That's the way of the donkey. We easily and often get caught up going somewhere we don't need to go. We feel like everything in our lives are pressing us down a certain path. We think we know what's going to make us happy. We think we know what might change the world. We think we have some solutions, so we go for it. Without hesitation, which isn't bad, but But after a while, we realize that this path that we're on isn't leading us where we expected. And so sometimes the best option is to stubbornly refuse traveling down that same path any further. Instead, is to stop, is to lie down, to retrace our steps, and to search for an alternate path. The way of the donkey. That's how we combat sin in our lives and our world. We say no. We selectively refuse to participate. And this refusal often takes many forms. It is stopping a racist joke that a friend or family member is trying to make. It's choosing alternative service or risking jail by not serving in the armed forces. It's refusing to stand around and do nothing while mass shootings become everyday occurrences. It's supporting organizations like Raw Tools and organizing gun buyback programs at our church, or even starting a toy gun buyback program where kids melt their toy weapons and in exchange are given more holistic, enriching ones. It is working to undo the white supremacy and privilege in our lives. And maybe it even means retreating from your homeland when the powers that be dictate that you can no longer practice your distinctive Christian convictions. More often, though, it involves more subtle acts of refusal. Perhaps it's trying to rely less on our exploitative economy. It's disavowing from buying goods that we know are linked to being made in prisons. It's not drinking SodaStream products because we know how they treat Palestinians. It's our refusal to invest in companies that are tied to military or oil or violence, even if this affects our ROI. It means sometimes not spending time with friends and family in certain situations that always lead to decisions or things we regret. Or perhaps it's simply not giving into the pressure of buying our kids the latest toys or video games or whatever it is, because that's what their friends have. Often, the most important thing we can do is to stop, to retreat, to withdraw. On Palm Sunday, Jesus demonstrates that discipleship often entails our stubborn refusal. And the symbol Jesus selects to convey this message is a donkey. When everyone pushed him to take the reins of this world, Jesus retreats. He lies down along the path and says no. The only throne he will ever end up embracing is the cross. Jesus would rather die than be unfaithful. He'd rather fail than participate in the injustices around him and us. And Jesus has freed us to embody this different way, to the way of the donkey. This Holy Week, as we confront the realities of the cross, it is my prayer that Jesus reveals to each and every one of us the areas in our lives that we need to refuse, and then that God gives us the courage and strength to retreat, to regroup, and to take another way. Amen.